Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're taking a deep dive into something pretty amazing in biology.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's called PCR.
It might sound kind of sci-fi, but
PCR.
Yeah, but really it's a super useful tool that helps scientists study DNA.
So is it like a superpower for biologists or something?
Uh-huh. You could say that. Imagine you have this tiny piece of DNA.
Okay.
Just a little bit. PCR basically lets you make billions of copies of it.
Wow. So it's like a DNA photocopier.
Exactly. And that's why it's so revolutionary. It basically unlocks a whole world of possibilities for DNA research.
So how did this PCR thing even come about?
Well, it all started back in the 80s with this biochemist named Carrie Mullis.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, Mullis was kind of a bit of a free spirit, you know? Mm. And one night, he was driving along with his girlfriend when he had this sudden aha moment.
Whoa, what happened?
He was thinking about how DNA replicates in our cells, and it just hit him.
The idea for PCR.
Yeah, like a flash of inspiration.
Sure. That's so cool. And this idea turned out to be a pretty big deal, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mullis ended up winning the Nobel Prize for it in 1993.
Wow, a Nobel Prize. So this PCR must be pretty groundbreaking stuff.
Oh, it definitely is. It's a game changer. It basically allows scientists to make tons of copies of a specific DNA sequence. It's like
Like a DNA magnifying glass.
Yes, exactly.
So we can study DNA in much greater detail than ever before, thanks to PCR.
Exactly. And it's used in so many areas of biology now. It's just incredible.
Okay, I'm hooked. So how does this PCR actually work? Can we break it down?
Sure. It's actually pretty simple, conceptually.
Okay.
It involves this three-step cycle, denaturation, annealing, and extension.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down there. Big words.
Sorry, it sounds complicated, but it's really not that bad.
Okay, break it down for me.
Okay, so first we have denaturation. Basically, you heat up the DNA sample to separate the two strands of the DNA molecule.
So you're like unzipping the DNA.
Exactly. And this creates two single strands that can be used as templates.
Okay, so like making a copy of a key, you need the original to make a new one.
Perfect analogy. Then we have annealing. This is where we lower the temperature and add these short pieces of DNA called primers.
Primers, yeah.
Primers basically attach to the single strands of DNA and tell the copying machinery where to start.
So they're like little flags saying, start copying here.
Yeah, you got it.
Makes sense.
And finally, we have extension. This is where an enzyme called DNA polymerase comes in.
Oh, enzymes. Those are important in biology, right?
Very important. This DNA polymerase uses the primers as a starting point and adds building blocks to create a new matching strand of DNA.
So the polymerase basically reads the original strand and makes a copy.
Exactly. And because we started with two separated strands, we end up with two complete double-stranded DNA molecules. That's one cycle of PCR.
Okay, so one cycle, one copy. But you said billions.
Yeah, so the magic is that we repeat this cycle over and over again.
Oh, so it's like a chain reaction of copying.
Exactly. Each cycle doubles the amount of DNA. So after, say, 30 cycles, you have billions of copies of the original sequence. Amazing, right?
Wow, that is pretty powerful. I can already see how this would be useful for so many things.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even scratched the surface of what PCR can do. We can dive deeper into its applications in the next part of this deep dive.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
Okay, so last time we left off talking about how PCR actually works with that three-step cycle.
Yeah. Denaturation, annealing, and extension. Mm. I actually think I'm starting to get it now.
Awesome. It's such a cool technique. Really elegant.
It is. And you were about to tell us more about all the amazing things PCR can do.
Right. So one of the biggest advantages of PCR is its sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
Yeah. Basically, you can start with a tiny amount of DNA, like from a single cell, and still amplify it to get billions of copies.
Wow. So you're saying even with a tiny sample, PCR can give us enough DNA to study.
Exactly. Think about it like this. You know those crime shows where they find a single hair at a crime scene? Well, with PCR, you can take the DNA from that hair and make enough copies to create a DNA profile.
Whoa, so PCR is like a secret weapon for forensic scientists.
You got it. It's been a game changer for solving crimes.
That's incredible. So we're talking tiny samples, but can PCR also help us fight diseases?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, PCR is really important in diagnosing infectious diseases.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, let's say you have a patient who's showing symptoms of an infection. Traditionally, doctors would have to culture the bacteria or virus to identify it.
Which could take a while, right?
Exactly. It could take days or even weeks to get results. But with PCR, we can detect the presence of the pathogen's DNA directly in a patient's sample.
So PCR is like a fast-track diagnosis.
You could say that. It's much faster and more accurate than traditional methods, which can be really important for starting treatment quickly.
Especially with something like, I don't know, COVID-19.
Exactly. PCR was instrumental in diagnosing and tracking the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Wow. So PCR is like a medical detective, helping us track down these tiny invaders.
And not just viruses. PCR is also used to diagnose bacterial infections, fungal infections, you name it. It's even used in cancer diagnostics.
Esther, how so?
Well, PCR can help identify specific mutations in a person's DNA that are associated with certain types of cancer.
So it's like having a personalized roadmap for fighting cancer based on an individual's genetic makeup.
Exactly. This information can help doctors make more informed decisions about treatment options and tailor therapies to each patient's needs.
That's incredible. So PCR isn't just about identifying diseases. Can it also tell us something about our ancestry?
Absolutely. Remember those at-home DNA testing kits that tell you about your ancestry?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They rely heavily on PCR.
Really? Never knew that.
Yeah. Those kits analyze specific regions of your DNA that are known to vary between different populations.
Oh, I see. So they're looking for specific markers that can reveal information about where your ancestors came from.
Exactly. It's like taking a journey through your family history at a molecular level.
That's fascinating. It's amazing how PCR can connect us to our past in such a tangible way.
Right. And speaking of the past, PCR has also revolutionized the study of ancient DNA.
Ancient DNA? You mean like from dinosaurs?
Haha. Well, not quite dinosaurs, but from creatures like woolly mammoths, Neanderthals, even ancient Egyptian mummies.
Wait, you're telling me we can analyze DNA from creatures that lived thousands of years ago?
Yep. PCR makes it possible to amplify even tiny fragments of degraded DNA from these ancient specimens.
So we can literally peer into the past and study the genetics of extinct species. That's mind-blowing.
It really is. It's like opening a window into a whole different world.
It's incredible to think about all the things we can learn from ancient DNA. But with all these amazing applications, are there any limitations to PCR?
Well, like any technique, PCR does have some limitations. For example, it's really sensitive to contamination.
Contamination, what does that mean?
It means that even a tiny bit of foreign DNA can be amplified along with your target sequence, leading to inaccurate results.
Oh, I see. So, like, if you're not careful, you could end up with a DNA profile that's a mix of different sources.
Exactly. That's why scientists have to be super careful when working with PCR to avoid introducing any unwanted DNA into their samples.
Makes sense. Sounds like a lot of precision is required.
Yeah, it definitely takes practice and attention to detail. Another limitation is that PCR requires some prior knowledge about the target DNA sequence.
So you can't just take any DNA sample and throw it into a PCR machine and expect it to tell you everything about it.
Right. You need to know at least a little bit about the specific region of DNA you're interested in amplifying to design the right primers.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's not like a magic bullet that can solve every DNA mystery.
It's not magic, but it's pretty darn close.
I'll say. I mean, look at all the incredible things PCR has made possible. It's really revolutionized so many fields.
Totally. And it's still evolving. Who knows what amazing applications we'll discover in the future?
Yeah, it's exciting to think about the possibilities.
And you know what's really exciting? All the new developments in PCR technology. Like, have you heard about portable PCR devices?
Portable PCR devices, like you can take them with you.
Exactly. Imagine being able to do PCR analysis anywhere.
Wow. That would be a game changer. Like you could take it to remote areas or even disaster zones.
Exactly. It would be so useful in places where traditional lab equipment just isn't available.
So it's like bringing the lab to the sample instead of the other way around?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So how do they even make PCR portable? It seems like a pretty complex process.
Right. It's definitely a challenge to miniaturize all those steps.
Yeah, I mean, you need those precise temperature changes and all that stuff.
Exactly. But researchers are coming up with some really creative solutions.
Oh, like what?
Well, they're using things like microfluidics, which basically involves manipulating tiny amounts of liquids on a chip.
Wow, so it's like shrinking down the entire PCR process onto a tiny device.
Exactly. And these portable devices are becoming more and more sophisticated all the time.
So what kind of things could we do with these portable PCR devices?
Oh, the possibilities are endless. In healthcare, for example, imagine being able to diagnose an infection right there at the patient's bedside.
That would be amazing. No more waiting days for lab results.
It would speed up diagnosis and treatment so much.
And what about environmental monitoring? Could we use these portable PCR devices to, like, test water quality in the field?
Absolutely. You could detect the presence of harmful bacteria or pollutants really quickly.
Wow, so we could identify environmental threats much faster and take action sooner.
Exactly. And you know what else is really cool?
What?
People are even talking about using portable PCR devices for space exploration.
PCR in space. Seriously?
Yeah. Think about it. You could monitor astronauts' health, analyze samples from other planets. It would be incredible.
That is so cool. It's amazing to think about all the things we can do with PCR, both now and in the future.
Totally. And it all started with that aha moment in a car.
It's truly a testament to the power of human ingenuity. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. From the basics of PCR to its amazing applications, it's been quite a journey.
It has. And who knows what the future holds for this incredible technique.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about the possibilities.
Definitely.
So for all our listeners out there, remember, PCR is more than just a laboratory technique. It's a tool that's changing the world.
And if you're interested in science, keep exploring. Who knows, maybe you'll be the one to discover the next big thing in PCR.
That's right. Always stay curious.
And keep learning.
That's all for our deep dive into the world of PCR. Thanks for joining us.